Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
Today, we are doing a mini episode on what do you want and how to get what you want.
If you're going through a divorce or you're thinking about getting a divorce, then this is the podcast for you. We give you the unpopular opinions no one else is talking about that will save you thousands of dollars on your divorce. Hosted by Morgan Stogsdill, the head of family law at the largest family law firm in the country, and comedian Andrea Rappaport. We're going to hold your hand, we're going to help your heart, and you will avoid the biggest divorce mistakes. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Lately, I've been seeing this a lot where there's negotiations back and forth. I'm going to set the table for you. Let's talk about Brenda and Chad, our favorite couple.
It's Chad and Brenda.
So let's just say that Chad is my client and Chad puts together a proposal and sends it over, a settlement proposal, to the other side. And then Brenda wants to respond, obviously. But instead of Brenda responding in the construct of Chad's proposal, let's just say that Chad puts a proposal of A, B, C, D, and I'm just doing it very general so you can kind of get the gist of what I'm saying. And then Brenda, it's her turn to respond. And Brenda's proposal comes back with a full letter. We don't quite know what she is responding to on Chad's A, B, C, D, but it's a full, very detailed letter of her settlement proposal. That's where things can start getting lost in translation. So one of the tips and tricks I want you to think about is after the first person makes their proposal, try to stick within the confines of that proposal. Yes, you're going to have additional items to add, but what I'm saying is, if you can work within the person's proposal, then it's going to be less likely that you're going to start losing things that you've agreed to, because a lot of times if they look all different, you're going to not remember, did we come to an agreement on those things? The other thing that's really positive, if you go down Chad's proposal of A, B, C, D, E, some things you can just take off the table. Letter E, we agree. And then it just basically flows the proposals on the same exact spreadsheet or document.
And give me a specific example of like what these confines would look like and what somebody could respond with.
Let's say that Chad's proposal on letter A says, I will pay for 50% of all schooling expenses in the future. And then Brenda might say back, well, I don't really agree to that, but she'll go back and under his A, her response will say, tell you what, Chad, I will agree if you pay for 60% of that schooling expense. And the reason you do it that way is you can kind of see a flow of where the negotiations have gone.
So what do people do that's wrong here? Like, don't most people do that? Or are you saying that some people just go totally sideways and they respond to something that has nothing to do with paying 50%?
Exactly. And at times what happens is they respond in, like, you know, letter format. So if Chad comes over in bullet points, then you want to try to respond back to each bullet point so that when you're going to a mediation or you're trying to figure out negotiations where you're at, you can go back to that first document and it all flows together rather than getting out seven different proposals and trying to compare them. That's when things get exhausting. And if that's happening to you, what I would suggest you do is have a conversation with your lawyer to say, hey, can we figure out a way where either, if it looks like a mess so far for you, put it into one document so I can see proposal one, response one, proposal two, response two, those kind of things.
I think that visual helps a lot too, because I think, like what you said before, is we think that it's going nowhere, and being able to see all of the responses in one document. I mean, you could even, guys, like copy and paste this into a Google Doc and color code it.
Who's obsessed with color coding?
So at the top, like, it's super clear. This was offer one in yellow, response two in blue. That way you see, wait, are we going in the right direction or are we going in the wrong direction?
And one thing I do at times, and this is something if it's happening to you where you can't remember where you started and where you're ending, ask your attorney whether they have an associate or paralegal or somebody that can create a document that does that for you. And at times I have that done. But what I've been doing a lot lately is in mediations, I'm asking the mediator as the lawyer for my client to make sure that we're all negotiating off the same document. So it's not reworked every time, and that there is a plan that you can see where it's following the proposal and the counter. And so the visual is so, so important, especially if you're a client, because you're already stressed out. And it's impossible for a client, sometimes even lawyers, to follow where you've been and where you're going.
You're exhausted. You're overwhelmed. You can't keep everything straight in your head. I mean, look, this is why we use calendars. This is why we have other visual tools. This is one more little visual tool in your toolbox to help you navigate what can be a total shit show.
Yeah, agreed. And one other thing I would suggest to you, same exact thing with the proposals to the balance sheet. So a lot of times in mediation, if you're negotiating finances, you're going to have the proposal, but you're also going to have a balance sheet that you're working off of. Too many times I see two different lawyers manipulating different balance sheets for their counter proposals or proposals. You want to be working off of one balance sheet. So I've had a mediator recently, because this was becoming an issue, and this mediator was fabulous. She said, enough. We're creating a master balance sheet. This is going to be what we negotiate off of. We know that there are line items on the balance sheet that people think shouldn't be on the balance sheet, and we'll deal with it. But do not take something off the balance sheet when you're negotiating, because that's when we start to forget assets or income, things like that.
And if you need a good springboard for this balance sheet, well, aren't you lucky? We have one for you. There is a link in the online guide of the Divorce Crash Course where you can get a really easy template for a balance sheet. We make this so simple. So if you're listening to this mini episode and you're thinking, okay, I think I need a little bit more of like a visual cue here, go grab the balance sheet, go grab the Divorce Crash Course. Keep listening to our full-length episodes, because we are here to give you as much information in little bite-sized pieces as possible.
That's right. And if you want the balance sheet from our Divorce Crash Course, that's a great starting point. Ultimately, your lawyer should be putting together a balance sheet, but we want you to have a starting point so that you can wrap your head around where the finances may go in the future. It's a great place to start. Listen, divorce is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We know that every day is not going to be a good day in this process. Sometimes it's day by day. Other days, it's hour by hour. And that's okay, because what Andrea and I know is that you are doing this. And in 5 years, your life is going to look so much better than where you are right now.
Go join the private community. Follow us on socials. Keep going. Keep going. Grab a balance sheet. Ask your attorney the right questions. If you don't have the Divorce Crash Course, get the Divorce Crash Course. It was designed to save you thousands of dollars. And remember, my friends, you have got this.
And we have got you.
The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast shall not be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information heard in this podcast shall not and should not be used as legal advice.